You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, I'm Louis Sange, your host for The Weekend, and joining us today are Mike and Ruby Ann Gallio, and they're here to talk about something exciting that's going to be happening at the Keystone Heritage Park in El Paso Desert Botanical Garden. And you're asking, what? Where is that? We're going to tell you, because you've probably driven by it so many times, and you've seen how beautiful it is right off Donovan. Ruby Ann, Mike, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start, first of all, perhaps with you, Mike. Tell us a little bit about Keystone Heritage Park, because some people, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, may not be aware of what it is, or they've seen it and don't know the history about it and how significant it is to El Paso history and archaeology and some other great finds.
Sure. Keystone Heritage Park is a 52-acre nature preserve in the Upper Valley on El Paso's west side. It's located at 4200 Donovan. It has a wetlands park. It's also home to the El Paso Desert Botanical Gardens. And it also has an archaeological site dating back several thousand years that is perhaps one of the earliest settlements in the area.
Now, how did it get discovered? Because before it was turned into the heritage park that it is, I'm sure that a lot of people just drove by there, perhaps even walked across it and weren't aware of the history that you mentioned.
It's actually interesting. A whole lot of people are aware of the place and recall the days back when, as kids, or, you know, years ago, they used to go out there back when it was just kind of wild marsh. Back in the 70s, the Army Corps of Engineers built the Keystone Dam, which is a flood control project that protects infrastructure and homes in the Upper Valley there. And while they were doing that, they discovered the archaeological sites, and the natural areas of the wetlands were also formed partly as a function of that dam. And so in the late 90s, the site was sort of slated for development, and it ended up getting preserved through some arrangements made between the city and the developer and through the concerns of citizens that sort of spoke up for its preservation.
Now, one of the things that, you know, people were probably going, wow, that's amazing that what happened, the fact that, you know, there are so many places in El Paso or wherever we grew up that perhaps we took for granted. We played baseball, hide and seek, you know, chase, whatever games when kids used to play outside. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Good times.
So as you talk about the archaeological find and what they did, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought I had read somewhere before that National Geographic had been interested in this or something.
Oh, there's been a whole bunch of different groups out here studying the archaeological stuff, and probably too numerous to go into. But certainly National Geographic has been involved, and Texas Historical Commission, and it's been a research site for some universities and other interested groups as well.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Ruby Ann is also here joining us, and Ruby Ann and Mike are talking about something that's going to be taking place later this month, and it's called the Summer Solstice Party. Ruby Ann, if you wouldn't mind filling us in a little bit about this, and then we'll go back and talk a little bit more about the park itself.
Well, it is a party for Keystone Heritage Park and the Desert Gardens. It's a fundraiser for the park as well as for CASFV, which is the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence. Normally, I do a different event called Shimmy Mob, and I wasn't able to this year, which is the fundraiser for CASFV, but I put the two events together. So they're happening this year together at the Summer Solstice Party, and there's going to be food, music, dancing, a fashion show, vendors, lots of fun things going on. Summer solstice, traditionally, yogis do 108 sun salutations to welcome in the celestial event. And so, I mean, it takes training to do that many sun salutations, but I am going to have a yoga instructor open the event with about 15 to 20 minutes worth of sun salutations. The event itself is very audience interactive, so I would like people to dress casually so they can participate in the games, so they can participate in the yoga and the games going on.
It's very interesting what you just mentioned about the salutations. Can you kind of tell us a little bit of, so people at home can kind of visualize what they're going to see? I'm sure it's pretty difficult.
Right, which is why we'll only do like 15 to 20 minutes. So mala beads, which are the prayer beads used by Buddhists and Hindus, they generally have 108 beads that go around one main bead that holds them together. So kind of like that's the center, or like the earth, and then everything else revolves around it. So that's why you do 108 sun salutations. And daily, that could be a practice for yogics where they wake up and do a sun salutation to start their day. And it's a series of stretches, and it does wake up the cardiovascular system. So it's strengthening, it's cardiovascular. It's just a great way to get your day started. And that's it.
Now, you mentioned that this is going to be very interactive audience. Tell us about that.
Yes. I also have a lot of belly dancers performing that day. And belly dancers, at the end of their performance, will often ask people to join them. So I would hope that if a belly dancer comes up to you and says, hey, come dance with me, the audience members will dance with them. It's rude to say no to a belly dancer. It's already stressful dancing in public and dancing in front of people. And dancing is such a joyful thing to do. Why would you say no? So, you know, join along. There's also going to be a flamenco dancer, and she'll probably invite people to dance with her as well.
The dancing is actually a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, people hesitate to get up out of, you know, fear or whatever. But once they get up and everybody starts dancing, it becomes quite a celebration, and it's really a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then there's also the African drummers from Onawa Yoga Studio. So they'll have drums out there for people to use. And drumming is also a fun thing to do, and people will be like, oh, I don't know any rhythms, I don't know any beats. Well, that's why they're there, to teach you. And I want everyone to feel comfortable to pick up a drum and do a little drumming just for fun.
And you mentioned that some people say, well, I don't know anything about music or keeping a beat. Yeah, whenever a song starts, if you notice, people will start tapping their foot.
Exactly.
Or tapping their hands like my brother and I used to do at the dinner table, and we were told, no, you can't do that.
Right. Well, this is a place where, yes, do that. It's celebrated.
So it's going to be also so much fun for children.
For children and adults, definitely. It's summer is the time to play, and I want everyone to feel comfortable to play, grown-ups and children, to play together. That's why the children's area that I have set up is not just for children. I want the grown-ups to pick up the hula hoops and the jump ropes and have that fun with their children, to blow bubbles, to put flowers in their hair. Yeah, fun stuff.
You mentioned that it's a benefit for the Heritage Park, but it's also a benefit for the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence. Would you mind sharing with us a little bit about what this organization does and how they function as far as helping other people?
Yes. So in the past, they were known as the Shelter for Battered Women. They have changed their name because they do so much more as far as outreach and education. And they help not just women, but entire families. And they do still definitely offer places for families to go to in need when they are in a dire situation and they need somewhere new. And I just feel it's so important to know that there is a safe place for women, children, and men to go to for help, whatever that help may be. If it's a place to stay, if it's counseling, food. Yeah.
And this is something that you mentioned as far as being safe. It's very anonymous, and so when they call, it's not, they shouldn't be afraid of something might happen because they're very protected.
Exactly. That's the most important thing, is that they are kept safe because it is anonymous.
We talked a little bit at the beginning about, you did, Mike, about the fact that there were some wetlands there. And when people hear wetlands, they think automatically wildlife, perhaps birds. And so I understand that there might be also some tours, and the Audubon Society from El Paso is going to be helping out?
Yes, sir. In addition to all the great things that Ruby Ann mentioned, we're going to be doing a nature walk tour of the wetlands and the developing nature park that's there. And we'll also have birding stations set up by the El Paso Trans-Pecos chapter of the Audubon Society. And so the Keystone Heritage Park is home to several hundred species of birds. Actually, over 200 species of birds have been documented there, including pelicans and sandhill cranes and a variety of raptors, as well as, of course, you know, typical waterfowl and a lot of different upland songbirds. So it's a very exciting place to be. It's a real good hotspot for birding activity. Evening is a great time to be out there. The park is typically open from 10 to 3, and so a lot of times we don't have the opportunity to get out there during the evening, but at this particular event, we will have professionals on hand with really good binoculars and spotting scopes to be able to see birds around the park at a time when they become very active in the park in the evening, in the early evening around sunset. So it's an exciting time to be there and get to learn a little bit about the birds that are there and talk to experts and use their equipment to be able to see things that are, you know, usually kind of see those birds that are usually kind of far away, get up close and really, really get to see them well with this equipment.
The El Paso Desert Botanical Garden is part of the park as well. And people who visit UTEP are familiar with the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens that we have across the street here. But tell us a little bit about what they can see at the El Paso Desert Botanical Gardens, perhaps some of the species.
Sure. The El Paso Desert Botanical Gardens is a collection of plants in various gardens that is representative of Chihuahuan Desert native flora, as well as other North American plants, or desert plants specifically. It's a beautiful place and we do a lot of, we host a lot of weddings and celebrations and other events there. It's set up very much for picnics and parties and events. And then it's a great place to just come and relax and have a stroll through on a daily basis, or, you know, when friends are visiting from out of town to come and bring them into the gardens. It's a small sort of self-guided garden area that's very pleasant and beautiful, and it's constantly changing because of the variety of flora that's in there. There's always something new to see, whether it's in the springtime blooming and when things are leafing out, and even in the wintertime when a lot of the stuff is dormant, but there are still some evergreen plants and some plants doing neat things, doing their thing in the winter.
One of the things I remember, I'm hoping that this is right, but if not, you can correct me. When I first heard about Keystone Heritage Park and before it was even set aside, I thought I read somewhere that they had also uncovered some kind of huts or adobe things as far as Native American people.
Yeah, the archaeological site basically consisted of a series of pit houses. Pit houses are kind of just exactly what they sound like. They were shallow depressions dug into the ground and then covered with a thatch covering. Some main branches were used as support structures and then thatch coverings to create a shelter. What does that mean nowadays? There's not a whole lot to see except to the trained eye. So it's not like we would, you know, visitors looking for the archaeological sites wouldn't go and see 4,000-year-old pit houses. But from an archaeological standpoint, it represents a location that is very significant in documenting the history of settlement of this area.
As far as this event, the Summer Solstice Party, you're going to be raising funds for the park and for the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence. Ruby Ann, tell us, as far as the upkeep and everything else that has to be done at the park, is that done by volunteers? How does that work?
Oh, definitely done a lot by volunteers. The park is run by a board, and the board is completely volunteer-based. And, well, we have to raise money to continually maintain the park, and that's flowers, lighting.
The water.
The water.
The maintenance of facilities in the park there.
Putting up the placards, the historical placards about the Camino Real, like all that stuff takes money, has to come from somewhere, and we want to offer something beautiful here in the city.
Actually, that brings up a good point, too. The gardens are actually home to several unique sculptures, including one of the 12 Travelers, as well as a couple of other sculptures that are educational with respect to the history of the area, in the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, which was the the Royal Road to the North, the internal Royal Road to the North, used by settlers hundreds of years ago.
Which one of the sculptures is there from the 12 Travelers?
Do you Susan remember? McGoffin.
Yes.
Yes. I don't remember which number she is in the series, but yeah, it's a really nice sculpture of Susan McGoffin.
So this area here that we're talking about, Doniphan particularly in that area, is very historical.
Yes, sir.
From what you're talking about.
Indeed, yeah.
And tell us about the park itself. You mentioned that it's open from 10 to 3. So can people go on a daily basis on their own, as you mentioned, self-guided tours? Or is there someone always there to make sure that everything's okay? How does it work?
Yeah, so we have a limited staff of groundskeepers that help keep the place up. The park is open Tuesday through Sunday from 10 to 3. And we also have a nursery there at the site, and there's folks there in the nursery that can help interpret and guide people around at the park. And
they can also call the park if they do want a guided tour with a tour guide that will give information, whether it's about the flora or the statues or the history of the area. It's a Bernie
Sargent is the president of the board of directors of the Keystone Heritage Park. And he and a few other volunteers frequently guide big tours, school groups and folks like that, Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and Girl Scouts. And the other day they had 80 students from a local elementary school come in. Yeah, it was quite a circus, a lot of fun.
So there's quite a bit to see at the park that you just can't say, okay, I saw this, I'm out of here.
It's a great hidden gem that's like right in everybody's plain view. You mentioned earlier that we've probably been there and or have seen it or have passed by and didn't even know it was there. We hear that all the time being at the park daily. Oh my gosh, I drive by this place every day and had no idea you guys were here. Or they say, we knew we were here, but I've been meaning to come in, just haven't made the time to do it. And then when they do, they're usually pleasantly surprised and always say that they're going to come back and bring their friends and family to come back and check it out, because it really is, it's a really unique site for this town and for this area. We don't have a lot of wetlands in the desert Southwest for a number of reasons. And El Paso has two big parks, two large wetland parks. One is Rio Bosque down in the lower valley, and the other is Keystone Heritage Park.
As far as the wetlands itself, can they always see birds in the area when they go there?
There's always birds, yeah. I mean, in the heat of the day in the middle of June, the birds aren't as active, but there's, you know, always a few ducks out there waddling around on the water and doing their thing in the shade, you know. And when, you know, the more intrepid explorer can get back into the uplands, kind of behind the wetlands and into the vegetation, and see a variety of upland songbirds that you wouldn't typically see in your backyard unless you're specifically working to attract birds. Yeah, it's a pretty exciting place.
And this event that you're having on June 23rd, it starts at 6, and I'm not sure how late it goes, but once the sun is setting, I can imagine that it's going to be beautiful and you'll see even more birds.
Boy, Keystone is a great place to see Purple Mountain Majesty. When the sun sets to the west and it lights up the Franklin Mountains, the view from Keystone is just outright spectacular.
And yes, the birds are flying in. They're coming in, hundreds and hundreds of them. It's amazing to see.
So the birds probably know about this party and they're
coming
home.
They probably do. They'll be there.
They get in for free, though.
Yeah, they do.
It says on the postcard that you all have as far as the event itself that there are going to be arts and crafts, games, and, you know, in this particular part of the Southwest, whenever you go to a flea market or any kind of festival, there are always so many different types of arts and crafts made by local artists, and they're just incredible, the things that you can find. What are we going to be able to see there, Ruby Ann?
So there is going to be Sabine. My friend Sabine will be there. She is a floral designer, and she's going to have head wreaths, hair accessories, and other jewelry that she makes available. Detti Page, also known as Michelle Denise Paquetta, will have her vintage moon there for portraits, so we can take vintage-looking portraits. Lisa Williams will have her local photography. Like, she takes pictures, really amazing pictures of El Paso. They're things that when I send postcards to people or gifts to people who no longer live in El Paso, I'm like, oh, I've got to get some of Lisa's pictures for them. There's going to be an artist doing an on-site painting of I don't really know what he's going to paint, whatever inspires him that evening, what he sees. And then that painting will be raffled off that evening. I think that's it for right. Well, I mean, there's more for sure. I just can't think of them. But what's very important to know about this party is it is a low-waste party. So my food vendor, which is One Grub Community, we're going to be using real dishes, not paper dishes, not like throwaway plastic dishes, real dishes. And the idea is to scrape your scraps into a trash can, and then a bus tub will be set up for the dishes. So I want people to know that that's, you know, it's important. It's important to not throw things away. It is. And we're not going to use straws for the beverages because straws blow away in the wind. They create litter. They end up in the wetlands area. You know, it's not good for the animals. So I want this to be a low waste party.
So a lot of work going on.
Oh, yeah.
This.
A lot of work.
Definitely, yes, sir.
Is this something that you do every year? And how many years have you been doing this?
This is our third summer solstice party. And we've done two autumn equinox parties. So this year I will also have an equinox party in the autumn. If it continues to go well, I hope to keep doing it forever and ever.
If people have additional questions that they need to ask about this, or perhaps, as you mentioned, Mike, if they want to book it for something or a tour, what number should they call?
For the party itself, they can call me at 915-490-8571, Ruby Ann. They'll find my Facebook page. The event is a public event, so they can just look up Summer Solstice Party and the event comes up. And on the event page, there is a link to the website. And the website, of course, has the phone numbers for Bernie and Benita.
The website is KeystoneHeritagePark.com. The phone number is area code 915-584-0563. You can email Keystone at khpelpaso@gmail.com. And like I said, we're also on Facebook. Look up Keystone on Facebook or Ruby Ann to find the event page for the solstice party.
One of the things that you mentioned dancing and the fact that there are going to be belly dancers there and, of course, the salutations to the sun. And I see here that you're also going to have a fashion show.
Oh, yes, the fashion show. It's going to be done by Prêt-à-Porter Fashions, which is located in the Cincinnati area. And they have great, I mean, they just have great clothing. It's a locally owned store. It's a small store, but so many neat, eclectic fashions. If anyone knows Anna Valenzuela, she's the owner. She's been doing fashionable stuff since the 80s, since we were children. And so you know her clothing is going to be fun. The fashion show will be spectacular.
And you're going to have flamenco dancing as well.
Yes, flamenco dancer. That's Carla Briones. She's been doing flamenco forever, and she'll have a live guitar player. Like, she dances to live music, and it'll be herself and a couple of her friends also dancing with her.
So you can't make excuses as far as I'm going there and I'm not going to participate. I'm just going to sit down because there's so much going to
there's
be going around
so
you.
There's so much going on, yes.
Perhaps even some of the birds will pick you up and take you up.
Well, the funny thing, last year there was a little quail that was not afraid of people at all. And it was just kind of walking around, kind of talking to all the people. And people were like, well, should we pick it up? Can we not pick it up? And, you know, just be kind to the animals. That's all I asked. But it was just really cute, this little quail following the people around.
Part of the party.
Yeah.
As far as everything that you mentioned, there are so many things to see, hear, do, eat. Are people going to be allowed to bring in cameras? And, of course, now everybody has a phone, so they'll use that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I want people to record what's going on there, to remember it forever, and to share it so that other people know what's going on and to know that El Paso has lots of things to offer, a lot of beautiful outdoor things to offer.
You mentioned, Mike, earlier about the tours, that if you want to call and set up a tour. But this particular evening, are people going to be free to go around and have self-guided tours, or are they going to be tours, as you mentioned earlier, the Audubon Society and some of the other people?
People are free to roam around the park and the wetlands and things like that. But I typically do a sunset nature walk tour around the wetlands just to get people out on the wetlands and experiencing that sunset, what it feels like out there, to see the mountains and things like that. So I do the sunset tour, and then We usually have Bernie or somebody else coming in and doing like a historical tour around the park to go and talk about the interpretive placards and the sculptures and things like that, the information that's there in the park.
Yeah, Sunset Tour is going to be, I'm sure, where you can see, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of birds, the beauty of the sun, the mountains, and it's going to be like a desert landscape being painted in your mind.
That's right. You know, it's exciting because you get out to this park and you've got the hustle and bustle of Donovan and all this commercial development and the construction around Sunland Park and all these things that are just going on around us, causing static and frustration and slowing us down. And then you walk out to this park that's right in the midst of all of that, and you walk out there and you're just isolated from it all. And you're surrounded by water and birds and wildlife and the view of the mountains and the view of the sunset. And it really is just kind of a breathtaking little moment to get away. And that's why I like to do it as a sunset tour.
So the party starts at 6 p.m., and that's on Saturday, June 23rd, 4200 Donovan. Ruby Ann, if you wouldn't mind kind of, again, telling us what's going to be happening that day and also how late it's going to be going on, because we haven't mentioned that.
So the party will go on till 10-ish, and I say ish because if we're all having a really good time, well, of course, we can stay a little bit later. I did mention that we're having food. There will be beverages available, including alcoholic beverages for those that are 21 and over, of course. So we'll start with the yoga with sun salutations. We'll have the cutest little girls belly. There's children belly dancing as well as adults. So the children come next. And then the drummers, the flamenco dancers, and then a series of belly dancers. The fashion show is the grand finale as far as scheduled entertainment. There'll be arts and crafts. So two girls will be leading a specific craft, which is not going to be revealed just yet. It's a surprise. But there is a craft table that is, again, audience interactive. People come sit down and they're going to walk away with something that they make.
The entrance fee to the party
is
$10 at the door and $7 in advance. And you can get in touch with Ruby Ann via Facebook or by calling her at 915-490-8571 to buy tickets in advance for $7. And kids 13 and under are free.
One final question, Mike and Ruby Ann, and this is probably something that a lot of people are talking about. What about parking?
There's plenty of parking. We do have a parking lot, and then we have overflow parking out onto Kappa Drive, and we usually set up the vacant lot across the street as a parking area as well. So there's plenty of places to park.
Well, thank you both very much for taking the time to be with us here today to give us a tour, a history lesson, and a little bit of something to expect. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Thank you for having us, Louis.
We've been visiting with Mike and Ruby Ann Gallio, talking about the Summer Solstice Party at Keystone Heritage Park in El Paso Desert Botanical Garden. It'll take place June 23rd at 6 p.m. and going till, well, that's up to you all to decide, and depending on what's going on there. Again, this event will be taking place at the Heritage Park, 6 p.m., 4200 Donovan. You can get more information by calling 915-490-8571 or Facebook Keystone Heritage. Thank you very much for being with us. Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Science.